You're listening to Season 2 of the So Cultured podcast,
where we delve into the science and tech behind everyday topics,
served with a side of piping hot laboratory.
We're your hosts, Liv,
Yaz
and Taz,
three girls with a passion for science and tech.
Before we get into today's episode, remember that all opinions are our own and all our listener stories are alleged.
We hope you guys enjoyed today's episode and let's get into it. Just watch me break it.
Hey, 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 welcome back to the So Cultured podcast. We are on episode 3 of season 2 and we just wanted to say thank you guys so much for all the love that we've had so far on this new season. We hope you are loving the science behind and we are ready to bring you more interesting topics explaining everything about the science behind.
Yeah, we're so glad that you guys are actually enjoying this theme because we were so excited when we came up with the theme. So yeah, it's really nice to know that you guys are also enjoying it as well.
Yeah, and actually, where do you guys, if you listen to podcasts, where do you actually listen to them? Is it when you're driving? Because obviously I've started to get into the gym and that's something that I'm really enjoying. And some people tell me they love listening to podcasts in the gym. But I really need hype music. So I'm just like,
yeah.
What do you do?
I need to listen to Twistel when I'm in the gym. I need like high intensity rap. He's like my favorite rapper. I actually love him so much. I think I'm probably his number one fan. No joke. So yeah, I definitely am not listening to podcasts in the gym. I listen to podcasts while I'm cooking or when I'm driving.
Yeah.
Yeah, I listen to podcasts usually when I'm on my way to work. Or if I'm doing like an intense lab session, then I'll just like listen to a podcast then. But for the gym, absolutely not, no. Like our listeners, feel free to listen to our podcast whilst you're in the gym.
Please
but
do.
I cannot do that.
Yeah, could you imagine lifting something heavy and then you like we're just giggling about something dumb and they're thinking, I can't focus.
Or maybe we make them laugh mid-lift and then they like fail to lift.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good vibe. But obviously, speaking of the gym, I've been seeing on TikTok so many different alternative ways to exercise and I low-key want to get involved. Like some of them are not that out there. Some of them are just like the dance step things, but they're like really high intensity. There's one particular one where I just keep seeing them dancing and they're all in sync. Or the other ones are like, you know, when they're like on a bungee jump lead or I don't even know what it is. And
not
they're like
the bungee
jumping
leads.
Around the studio.
Not the bungee leads. No,
which
is actually funny. Can I just say that me and my boyfriend are just, obviously we're just joking around, but we're cracking up at all of the videos of the like huge groups of like middle-aged women where they're like tied to the little bungee things and they're all like jumping around the room because we keep seeing memes of it and it's like middle-aged women doing anything to avoid an actual workout, which obviously it is an actual workout, but it does crack me up. Like it is making me laugh.
Yeah,
but I low-key want to try them.
There was another one where they've got like spongy bits on the bottom of their shoes. It's like a stilt, but not. And they're like bouncing around and hopping. And I'm like, that looks like a vibe too.
What?
Oh my God.
I've literally never seen that. But do you know what that reminds me of? You know when like babies have, they're like suspended in a doorway and they have like a bouncer. Like surely that's yeah. just the adult version of that.
Oh my God.
It actually is.
But talking of alternate exercises or like different kind of exercises, actually, I was going to say like, I'd love to get into like jiu-jitsu or something, but like, is that alternate? Actually, maybe it's not.
No.
I honestly think like you're doing a very like alternate exercise, pole dancing. Like yeah, that's not a very conventional one, is it?
I guess. I used to do karate.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I got to brown belt, so I was one before black belt, and then I quit because I'm a little quitter. And I really regret it because now I can't say that I've got a black belt in karate. I've only got a brown belt.
Yeah, that would have been cool if you could claim that.
Oh, well, sorry, yeah. Taz. Is the brown belt not cool enough for you?
No, you needed black.
No, because yeah, Taz missed.
I agree.
Miss, like, does everything really well, probably already has a black belt.
Literally.
I can confirm I do not have the hand-eye coordination for karate or anything like that.
Wait, you say that, Taz, but you've just started playing netball, so
true. I'm actually quite good, you know. I'm actually so like I've got such lanky arms. I've found my position right. It's in goalkeeper because basically if they miss the goal then I can like immediately snatch the ball before anyone else because my lanky arms got reach long before everybody arms. Else. So,
wow. Oh my God, that's a fun update. That. Yeah, so me and Taz are already doing some alternate exercises. Yaz, what are you going to take up this year?
Maybe I'll take up something, I don't know, what's exciting? Lifting up the wine glass. That's my exercise.
Bicep workout no, there.
Oh, actually, Taz, quick question. You mentioned before that you started a new gym, so how is it going? Do you like it?
I've been ill quite recently, so like I've not been going that much, but it's called so for context to the listeners, I was going regularly to a class at 6:30 before work, and it was so good because the gym was like in my building and the classes were really good, so it's really convenient. But then it shut down, so I had to like find a completely new gym, and I found one, but it's called the Glute Station, and I think their like motto is like building Bondi's best booties or something, and I'm like,
oh my God, that's so like maybe, booty builder. You know, I keep seeing like little like gyms that have little booty building stations. I'm like, oh my God, my gym needs that.
No, yeah, it's literally a whole gym dedicated to building a bum. But
oh my God,
yeah, it's quite lethal because like your legs kill every single day. But maybe I'll come out of this with like a fat ass, because currently it's flat.
Oh my God, you'll be like Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, but didn't she have surgery, so it's not really the same thing.
No, I was about to say, actually, having said that, like aren't all the Kardashians like super skinny now? They've all like they've not all lost their asses, all of their bodies have changed and now they're all super skinny, so like I don't even know if me saying like Kim Kardashian is the right reference anymore.
I feel like, isn't it going into like 90s model-esque kind of vibes with everyone wanting to be slim and stuff, but the Kardashians are still curvy.
Yeah, I do find it's frustrating how it's like there's always these trends. One minute it's like get a big booty, now it's like, oh, back to the slimmer is better and whatever. And I just think it's so hard for us.
I think
it is, especially as women or young girls growing up and then looking at all this, feeling the pressure of society being like, you should look a certain way. So I do think that is quite problematic, but I'm not going to lie, I still do like give into it sometimes, and it's just hard, but I think that's just where we're at right now.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Like, it's actually impossible to keep up with like all the societal pressure to look a certain way these days. It's actually crazy. And today I'm actually going to touch on a topic that is related to this. So today I'm going to be talking about the science behind Ozempic.
Ooh. Yes, I'm so excited for this.
Right, guys, so I want to know, have you heard about Ozempic before today's episode, or have you been living under a rock?
I have heard all about it. Well, not all about it, but I've heard of it, and I see it all over TikTok.
I must be living under a rock. I think this PhD has literally just shut me off from the world, because I have never heard of it.
Really?
Yeah, like I think even though I can feel the societal pressures, I don't always give in so much to them. So like, what actually is it?
So I feel like on TikTok, it's like this miracle drug that works for weight loss. But I feel like not everybody knows how it works. And I'm going to tell you why this drug was actually made for type 2 diabetes.
Oh my God, I'm actually excited for this because, yeah, like I said, I've seen it all over TikTok, but I never actually knew how it worked. And I feel like my sister actually asked me the other day, like, if I know much about it or how it actually works. And I had to say no, which hurt my ego a little bit.
Well, maybe she can listen to this, yeah.
Yeah, literally, I can send her this episode now. But before we do get into how it works, you just said that it's only for type 2 diabetics, is that right? But aren't there like two types of diabetes? So can we maybe dive into first like what the difference is between the two types of diabetes?
Yeah, sure. Firstly, what is diabetes? So diabetes is a chronic metabolic disease characterized by elevated levels of blood glucose or blood sugar, which over time leads to serious damage to the heart, blood vessels, eyes, kidneys, and nerves. To give a bit of a background, we use glucose, which is a type of sugar, and we use it for energy. And this comes from two places. So it comes from the food we eat and also our liver, where it's typically stored as glucagon. So normally to store glucose, we have to produce a hormone called insulin. And insulin is created by the beta cells in the pancreas and is released to help move glucose from our blood into the cells, allowing the cells to use the glucose for energy. So type 1 and type 2 diabetes both occur when the body cannot properly do this. So they can't store and use the glucose, which is essential for energy. And then this glucose then collects in the blood and leads to serious complications. So first, type 1 diabetes, what causes it? Well, scientists believe that the immune system mistakenly attacks the cells that produce insulin, which, as I mentioned, are called the beta cells found in the pancreas. So the immune system destroys these cells, which means the body can no longer make enough insulin to regulate blood glucose levels. And this means that a person with type 1 diabetes will need to use supplemental insulin from when they receive the diagnosis through to the rest of their life, basically. So type 1 diabetes is often first diagnosed when people are children or young adults, and it usually starts suddenly and it tends to worsen quickly. So there's no way of preventing type 1 diabetes, and it's often hereditary, and it constitutes around 5 to 10% of people with diabetes. So we don't actually also know why the immune system attacks the pancreatic beta cells, but it is possible that there are certain factors. So genetics, virus infections, foods, chemicals, and yeah, they're just not entirely sure what might cause it. Okay, and then type 2 diabetes. This is different because it's not an autoimmune disorder, but rather the body's cells start to resist the effect of insulin. In type 2 diabetes, insulin is produced, but higher levels of insulin are required to allow it to enter the cells, and that's what we call insulin resistance. So type 2 diabetes is very different to type 1. Symptoms take years to appear, and people can actually use medications, diet, and exercise to like mitigate the progression of the disease. In the early stages, a person with type 2 diabetes doesn't need supplemental insulin, but as the disease progresses, they might need it. So whilst both types of diabetes have inherited and genetic aspects, the insulin resistance that causes type 2 is commonly associated with having too much body fat. And that's because in general, you have a larger body mass, so more insulin's required.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's a really good summary. And I think I'm aware of like the differences, or that there's two types of diabetes, but I wasn't really sure of like what actually causes it. I think I knew one you get from like birth and you're more aware of it, and the other one you develop through like age and stuff. But yeah, I definitely think it's always good to try and understand a bit more of like why there's the differences.
I've learned about diabetes so many times, I swear, like GCSE, A-level, undergrad, and I always forget. I don't know why, but it's just something that will not stay in my brain, and I don't understand why.
Yeah, same.
Well, I think it's like, that's what I don't understand, is how insulin is regulated and then what is the difference. I think that was a good summary to actually explain that type 2 diabetics, it's more because of this like body fat, and that's kind of associated directly with it. So let's actually get into it. How does Ozempic help treat diabetes? And why is it only for type 2 diabetes?
Yeah, that's a great question. So Ozempic is actually the branded, or like the marketed name for the drug. So the drug is actually called semaglutide, and it's super interesting how it works. So semaglutide has been synthesized to mimic a naturally occurring hormone called GLP-1. And basically, it's just been modified so that it's protected from degradation by another enzyme called DPP-4. And also so that it has a longer half-life in circulation by resisting renal clearance, aka you don't just piss it out.
Oh, cool. Okay, so can we talk a little bit about what GLP-1 actually does then? Like, why would you want to mimic it?
Okay, so what we know about GLP-1 is that it stands for glucagon-like peptide 1. So GLP-1 for short, and it's an incretin. So an incretin is a hormone that is released by the gut, or the intestinal epithelial cells to be specific, after eating food. So normally GLP-1 is really rapidly metabolized or broken down, and is inactivated by the DPP-4 enzyme that I mentioned. But the main action of GLP-1 is that it stimulates insulin secretion. So that's what it means to act as an incretin hormone, and also to inhibit glucagon secretion. So like I mentioned earlier, glucagon is the form in which glucose is stored in the body. And it also inhibits gastrointestinal motility, which means it slows down how fast the food travels through the gut. And scientists also believe that GLP-1 is released in neurons in the hindbrain, which stimulate receptors across the entire brain to suppress appetite. So semaglutide or Ozempic is essentially GLP-1 on steroids, as it hijacks the same mechanism and it's also been modified to stick around for a lot longer. So it's a lot more potent.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. So I think I see where you're going with this. So we want to mimic this hormone to promote the release of insulin.
Yes, exactly. And that is the reason why only type 2 diabetics can use semaglutide, because they're still capable of producing and releasing insulin. It's just that their body is generally insulin resistant, so requires more insulin to be produced to be effective. So semaglutide or Ozempic promotes that. Obviously, it can't be used for type 1 diabetics because these patients don't even have the cells that can produce insulin in the first place. So does that make a bit more sense?
Yeah, that makes so much sense.
Yeah. So I feel like Ozempic has just randomly popped up out of nowhere. Like I said, like I see it on TikTok all the time. Everyone's accusing every single celebrity of taking it. So like, is this like a super new drug? Like, do we know anything about clinical trials with this drug? Or maybe even like, are there any other drugs similar to Ozempic that also help diabetes?
Yeah, so like all drugs, there's been a ton of clinical trials on people without diabetes to test whether it's toxic in any way, on people with diabetes to test their efficacy, and also on people who may have other diseases that may or may not be associated with having diabetes, like liver or kidney failure, just to see like if it affects them in any way that might be negative. And essentially, they found that it was super effective at reducing blood glucose with limited adverse effects. But the main adverse effects were, as you probably would expect, gastrointestinal symptoms such as nausea, constipation, and abdominal pain. And yes, there's actually other compounds that can act in the same way as semaglutide, but they weren't as potent. And you can also have metformin, which is a drug that prevents the release of glucose from glucagon that's stored in the liver. And that can be taken alongside semaglutide as well.
But that prevents the release of glucose from glucagon.
Yeah.
But what does semaglutide do? Promotes the release.
It promotes the storage of glucose.
Oh, promotes the storage. And then your body would naturally release it anyway. But metformin helps prevent it from doing that as well.
Yeah. So you've got metformin, which helps prevent the breakdown of glucagon to glucose, which will then go into the blood. So you want to prevent that process. And then semaglutide promotes the storage of glucose in the blood to glucagon. So yeah, you're like retaining glucagon.
But what I still don't get is how that relates to like weight loss. So like, obviously we know, like, so Ozempic is obviously related to weight loss. Like most of us, when we think of Ozempic, we think about weight loss. So I don't feel like obviously many people know that it's a diabetic drug. But can we talk a little bit more about how it actually causes weight loss, or what part of everything you've just explained like leads to weight loss?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Like, I completely agree. We just hear about this as a weight loss drug rather than like a drug for diabetes. And yeah, basically, I guess it was found as like a side effect in the clinical trials and people have just run with it. So how it works? Well, the GLP-1, or in this instance, it would be Ozempic, activates the GLP-1 receptor. And that receptor is found in the pancreas, the nervous system, the gastrointestinal tract, the cardiovascular system, the kidneys, and the lungs. And based on that, we can assume that the activation of this receptor may have a really wide range of functions outside just the promotion of releasing insulin. Mm-hmm. So some of the functions that we know of are reduce appetite, reduce nutrient uptake from the gut, and obviously reduced gut motility. So the food slows down in your gut. So those are all factors that promote weight loss that we know of.
Reduced nutrient uptake.
leads to weight loss.
That's unhealthy, surely.
Surely that's not really a healthy way. Yeah.
So it's kind of the same thing. It's not really giving you the nutrients that you require. So you're not going to be healthy on it, really.
Yeah, and it's kind of given, you know, like in the 90s when people would like smoke cigarettes, oh, I'm hungry, smoke a cigarette then. Because like, yeah, your appetite is kind of given that, yeah, you know.
That's bad.
From these studies, obviously if it can be used just as a weight loss drug, obviously I'm aware as well that it is normally used for type 2 diabetics. But like, what are the implications to this?
Well, I think you kind of touched on that, but in your question, because obviously the main issue that we're facing is that this is marketed as a diabetic drug. And due to the ongoing fad of like using Ozempic as a weight loss drug, people struggling with diabetes are going to struggle to get hold of this drug. So we have this issue where it's not being properly regulated to those who actually need it to get it.
Yeah, that's actually so true, because first of all, on that point, I saw a TikTok the other day about, so a girl did a TikTok and she was talking about how her dad actually had diabetes and about how he actually couldn't get his, like, he couldn't get Ozempic, couldn't get his treatment for his diabetes because there's like a worldwide shortage because people are using it for weight loss, which I think is actually insane. And then I started thinking about, oh, like, how are people actually getting this drug? Like, surely a doctor has to prescribe it. So how are this many people getting it for like purely weight loss? But then I actually found out, sorry if you're listening to this because you're gonna know who you are, and I feel like I am sending you this episode to listen to, but one of my friends, or like someone I know, is actually using Ozempic, or at least has like had the offer to use Ozempic, like by her PT. So her PT was like, do you want to use, or I don't even know how it went down, but she's using it, which, like, fair play, you know, like, do you, girl? But, like, I'm just saying that because I think it's crazy that, like, how a PT's got this drug and they're just, like, giving it out to people. Like, that is crazy.
But also, as a PT, you would assume that they're also about nutrition and health. So if you're training and you're not actually obtaining the nutrients, that is not a good promotion.
But this is the thing. I don't think they probably don't know that. Like, it's just because they're a PT. Like, I don't think they actually know, like, the science behind this drug.
Literally.
Do you know what I mean? So they probably think it's good because I don't actually think there's anything wrong with using, like, supplements alongside your exercise and, like, your nutrition to supplement weight loss. Like, there's actually nothing wrong with that. I think it can be a really great thing, especially for people who actually do struggle to lose weight. Like, it can be an amazing thing. So I don't think it's anything really, like, I mean, it is a little bit on the PT, but it's more like, I don't know whose problem it is. The government's problem? I don't know. Someone needs to
Well, it's probably people don't understand it, hence why we're doing this about the science behind, because I'd never even heard of Ozempic. I haven't even seen that people are using it as weight loss, but... Yeah,
do you not use TikTok? PT... I don't think you do you?
I actually don't scroll TikTok because I think I would not do work. I just use Instagram. Like, am I behind the times?
I prefer TikTok over Instagram these days.
See, that's too. Why I just haven't heard of anything. I'm so behind. Like, I watch everything like weeks after everyone's seen it because then it comes to Instagram. anyway, yeah, I do think, especially if a PT saying something, you're like, yeah, I want to help lose weight, you're just gonna, or I want help to lose weight, you're probably gonna take that advice without really checking it.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, she's not like, she's dumb, not dumb, she's like a very clever girl, and like, you know, like, I'm sure she has like done her research, but ultimately, like, most of the actual science behind all of this is very like inaccessible for people who don't have degrees or like a background in science, because like, you start reading about GLP-1 and you'll be like, yeah, absolutely not, and you'll clock out. So, like, I think the surface science, like, it does actually seem all good, you know? So, I don't know.
I'm actually curious how, like, the PT would have got that, though, because...
That's what I'm saying.
Like, in the UK, you definitely need a prescription for it. And I think, like, for the US, it's a bit different because you can find ways of, like, buying, like, drugs in the US. So, maybe they, like, pay a premium or something. And I think, like, the lack of access comes down to some people like bulk buying Ozempic and then selling it at a higher price to like it. People that can pay for Ozempic. It. Yeah, but I don't know how someone in the UK would be able to do that. But maybe they know someone who is diabetic and uses it and they're just like, I'm going to sell it.
Also, there could be like corrupt doctors. Like, ultimately you can probably get any drug that you want if you can find the right person. Like, you probably can. And like, if you're someone who's selling Ozempic illegally, who are you going to go to? You're going to go to PTs, because they're like,
or pharmacists, corrupt pharmacists maybe.
Yeah, exactly. But what's
interesting on that topic is, if people are getting it, could it be that it's not actually the brand Ozempic, that it's like being sold as an Ozempic alternative, but it is just a semaglutide,
and like then Ozempic actually don't from know because... Wish.
Yeah. Yeah, that's when it becomes like dangerous. I just think, like, obviously we need to acknowledge that Ozempic has gone through clinical trials and is deemed to be safe, but it's clinical trials that have been aimed at effectiveness in patients with diabetes. So obviously you do have to weigh up the pros and cons of all drugs, especially if you're taking it for what it wasn't really intended for. Obviously this drug causes gastrointestinal upset, constipation, nausea. So if you're just using this drug to lose a few pounds, then is it really worth it? And I think personally, one of the main issues that I have with the ongoing media is, one, it's being normalized to use as a drug for weight loss. But two, and this probably sounds like a bit of a contradictory point to one, but it's the idea that using a weight loss drug is just like an easy way out. And I think in cases where someone might be considering a gastric sleeve for weight loss, this option of not undergoing surgery and using Ozempic instead is obviously a really good prospect. So, because some people might be too obese to have surgery, or in general, there's complications to having a gastric sleeve anyway. And being obese, as we've covered in our previous series, is not always a choice. And it can actually lead, obviously, to some serious health problems. Pre-diabetes or diabetes itself, hypertension, and obstructive sleep apnea, which is just to list a few. So having a weight loss drug like Ozempic would certainly help in these cases, I think, personally. It's also actually been proven to reduce cardiovascular events associated with being obese and or diabetic. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, and other studies have shown that in a one-year period, semaglutide resulted in an average 14% reduction in weight from baseline, and in a two-year period, a 15% reduction compared to the placebo, so people that weren't taking anything, which was around a 2.6% reduction in weight. So like, it's obviously a really good weight loss drug, but I don't personally think it should be taken lightly. I think it should be maybe considered for people that are obese and suffering from like serious health complications from being overweight. So I don't really think it should be used for like losing a few pounds like it's been portrayed in the media.
True. But I do think it's interesting how you just mentioned about the placebo. So I'm assuming they would have still taken like a supplement, but the supplement wouldn't contain anything worthwhile. So like, they're still conscious they're having like a tablet, or I don't even know the form. How do you actually take Ozempic?
A tablet, or
you can either take an oral tablet once a day, or you can have, I think it's like one weekly injections, but it's like way more potent if you have the injection over the pill.
Okay, so I'm assuming for the placebo, people that were just not taking, well, not having the drug, there might be, because you said there was a 2.6% reduction in those, that maybe taking the form in whatever you're taking it in is associated with having a healthier lifestyle, perhaps, that you know, okay, it should help me with weight loss, so you might be doing extra things to like increase that weight loss or on a quicker scale. Or do you think that's completely
So the clinical trials was like, they were put on a weight loss plan. So I guess semaglutide kind of shows how much it like promoted the weight loss that they wanted to achieve compared to like people who are on the placebo who only lost 2.6% weight.
Oh, so it's literally like enhancing the weight loss like progression or just increasing it to be quicker. That's interesting.
But can we just touch on a really important point there? So like, on the surface, that all sounds good. Like you said, in a 1 year period, there's an average of 14% reduction in weight. But then you also said that after the 2 year period, there's a 15% reduction. Is that like a 15% reduction on top of the 14? Or is there like a 1% reduction between the 2 years? That's definitely an interesting point, because does it mean that it's got like a saturation point? So
yeah, maybe
you can only take it for a certain amount of time.
does it become less effective over time? And then also touching on that, like, once you come off Ozempic, what are the effects after that as well?
Oh my God, yeah. Because you could just, like, do you just put the weight back on? Like, what happens?
Yeah, because, yeah, once your gut, like, reduced appetite goes, then do you just go back to, like, struggling with your weight loss plans again? And then all of your progress, in quotes, is reversed.
Mm. Yeah, those are really good points. And that's, like, such a, like, scientific view of those statistics, I think, as well. But
come on, we are a science podcast.
Well, yeah, no, it's good. It's good. It's good to break these numbers down, guys. No, so the 14% reduction in 1 year versus the 15% reduction in 2 years were actually, like, two completely different clinical trials. So I don't know, like, how you would be able to compare them. It wasn't, like, the same cohort of people.
Right.
It wasn't, people in 1 year, they lost 14%, and then it was only, like, 1% extra in the second year. They were completely different, so...
So it could be due to, like, differences in the, like, it could even be due to differences in the meal plan that they were given, for example. Like, the 14% could have been, like, on a super strict diet, maybe only 1,200 calories, where the 15% was maybe you're allowed your daily intake of calories, average intake, you know?
Yeah. But touching on your last point, which was about stopping Ozempic, there is evidence of, like, once you stop taking Ozempic, that you put the weight back on. So there was this study that showed that from week 0 to week 68, the mean weight loss was 17.3%. So this is another different, like, clinical trial that showed 17.3% weight loss in just over a year with semaglutide, and then 2% with the placebo. But after 1 year of, like, withdrawal of the once weekly injections, participants actually regained 2/3 of their prior weight loss. So they put on 2/3 of what they'd lost.
Right.
Damn. Obviously, this is just one study, so
yeah,
I think we have to take it with a pinch of salt. But I think to, like, even if they were, like, taking Ozempic to get to a weight where they could have a gastric sleeve, you know, I think it would be a good option.
Yeah, but then, like you said earlier, like, gastric sleeves are dangerous.
Yeah.
And, like, we don't actually know for sure that they're any less dangerous than taking Ozempic for a long time. So, like, you do say, oh, yeah, you could take Ozempic for this amount of time, then have a gastric sleeve. But actually, long-term effects of Ozempic might be, like, nil. And then why would you risk going through under anesthesia, especially if you are someone who has, like, a higher body weight? Going under anesthesia and all of that is, like, super dangerous. So, I don't know. I think we definitely need to know more about the long-term effects of Ozempic when it's used purely for weight loss.
Especially because taking Ozempic purely for weight loss is, like, a new trend. So I guess it's going to take a while for us to actually have those answers to see what the long-term effects are. And I think that's like with anything, when it's very new, like, you don't know the immediate effects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is why I'm like, it shouldn't be taken lightly, because, like, if you're in a position where you're weight is seriously affecting your health, you have really high risk of, like, a cardiovascular event or, like, obstructive sleep apnea, or you're even going to develop type 2 diabetes, which this drug is obviously meant to prevent, then, like, I think it's a really good option, but it just shouldn't be taken, like, willy-nilly, like, oh, I want to lose a few pounds. And, like, on that, for anyone who might be considering it, there is evidence that supports the fact that Ozempic might cause thyroid tumors, including, like, cancers.
Oh.
So in studies with rodents, Ozempic and medicines that work like Ozempic did cause thyroid tumors, including thyroid cancer. And it's not known if Ozempic will cause thyroid tumors or a type of thyroid cancer. So you need to, like, weigh up the risks, essentially.
Weigh up, yeah, definitely.
Thank you for that. That was so interesting, Taz. I think that was such a nice summary of, like, the science behind Ozempic, but equally, like, I had no idea, one, about Ozempic, or two, that it is intended for people with diabetes. And I think, obviously, we need to be cautious that people with diabetes need to be first priority of getting this drug.
Yeah.
So hopefully if you've listened, you can spread the word as well and let people know.
Yeah, thanks, but Saz. Yes. That was so interesting. And as always, you can find all of the links to today's science linked in the description below. And for now, it is time to move on to today's laboratory section.
Woohoo!
This episode is brought to you by SciSpace.
Yeah, guys, SciSpace is your one-stop destination for all things research-related.
Yep, it's the easiest way to find, understand, and learn any research paper.
But honestly, having access to millions of papers is useless if you don't actually understand them.
Which is why it is so useful that SciSpace has an AI tool that allows you to access a quick summary.
Yeah, that's so true, and it's actually so easy to use. You can search for any paper or upload a PDF to the website yourself, and then simply just use the chatbot to ask it any question that you want.
You can even ask it to explain the abstract in just two lines.
My favorite thing is that you can even get it to break down mathematical equations, which I need because we all know I'm not the best at math. And you can even ask it to break down complex figures.
Yeah, and when you're done, it even has an extra feature called related papers. So instead of wasting time looking for like the next relevant paper to read, SciSpace does it for you.
Yeah, true. And that makes conducting literature reviews so much easier as well.
Yeah, I think this is incredible and very, very helpful. So where can our listeners find SciSpace?
Yeah, so all you need to do is go to typeset.io, set up an account and get started.
And does it also have a Google Chrome extension too?
Yep, it does.
Yeah, and SciSpace have also very kindly given you guys not one, but two codes.
Yeah, you can use SoCultured20 for 20% off our monthly subscription or SoCultured40 for 40% off an annual subscription.
Thanks again to SciSpace for sponsoring this episode. The link to SciSpace will be available in today's episode description.
And now let's get back to today's episode. Okay, so I mentioned for this week's gossip, we are doing something a little bit different. We also spoke about how on season two, we want to get the listeners involved a little bit more. So I put up a little story on our Instagram asking people to take part in a little challenge. So when I was younger, I used to be obsessed with asking the what would you do if questions. I used to ask my nan all the time. Like we'd be walking down the street and I'd be like, what would you do if like 10 cows just came out, ran over to you, knocked you over? She used to get really fed up with me. Anyways, apparently I'm not growing out of that because I have asked the followers to give us some what would you do ifs. So we're going to pick three of them and go through them today. Obviously, due to Instagram's character limit, they're pretty short, but let's get on with some of them. Right. Okay, so I'm going to ask you guys a question. Obviously, I want your honest answers. So the first one is, what would you do? This one's a pretty crazy. Like, I feel like they just gave us some really like random ones. Okay, what would you do if your lab mate was being your supervisor and then was being given special treatment?
Nah.
So imagine you've got a best friend in the lab and they're just like being treated really well by your supervisor while he's just like always up your ass and he's always just on your case about things, and then they're just doing nothing, but you just never see him up their ass. And then you find out that they've been shagging behind your back. What would you do?
Well, I feel like there's only one option.
What is that?
Shag the supervisor.
You've got to get in on the action as well.
I was not expecting that one. Okay, I would have been like, I'd be mad at my mate. Like, if it was my lab bestie who have not been telling me the gossip. Like, I would want to know the gossip. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like, I want to know, like, how did it start? What's going on? Like, fair enough. Like, I'd be annoyed that you're getting good treatment, but let's be real, everyone has like troubles with PIs. So she's doing something well. Like she got to take one for the team, but also like help us. Like she needs to sweet talk him to be like,
yeah,
you know, like treat everyone fairly. But I'm going to be giving her one-to-one like, okay, this is what you have to say. Tell him that he's been a bit harsh on the others.
You're right though. Like how does it start? Like how does one end up shagging their supervisor?
God knows.
Maybe it's like the boat party experience. You just like have a little 1-2 drinks and then you just talking about a problem in the lab and you're like, oh, it was a bit hard. And he's like, I know something else that's hard. And then,
oh, for God's sake.
Oh my god.
What would you do, Liv? Would you do a task?
What would I do? Well, I mean, it depends. Like, I mean, obviously I'm in a relationship, so no, I'm not gonna shag my supervisor. But if I was single and he was, no, actually, because that'd be kind of weird, because then you're like sharing him. I feel like I was getting her like sloppy leftovers. No, maybe not. I mean, I don't want to bring Pietro up, because at what point are we going to stop talking about Pietro from season one?
But gosh, yeah.
If it was Pietro,
like, maybe.
Yeah, we're talking from our listeners' perspective, not our own. Like, I obviously wouldn't. I've got a boyfriend. And also, my answer is kind of a joke, but like, could be an option.
No, but it's about us. What would we do? What would we do?
Yeah, because what would you do if?
Oh, and Taz, I mean, actually, in like, tag him too.
my actual real answer is like, I would just mind my business. I would just mind my business.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be getting involved in that. Yeah, I don't want to be getting involved in any of that. Because I feel like if you're shagging your supervisor, you've either got to marry them or it's all going to go wrong. Because there's really no... Yeah, there's no in between. Like, it's not like you're going to end up being friends afterwards. Like, there's, you know... So I'm really going to say out of
casual, yeah.
Yeah, I would mind my own business as well, because I just think in those scenarios, like, obviously if it's a PhD student and you're showing your PI and, like, it's going to come out, and then surely the PhD will be taken away because unfair advantage. Yeah.
I would just let it
take its course.
I think I'd just be straight in with the goss. I want to know the goss. Like, I just want to hear, like, did you meet matey boy today? What did you do? Did he take you for coffee? Did he bring you a coffee before your morning experiment? Like, I want to know. Like, I'm here for it.
To be fair, I'm saying I'm keep quiet, but I know damn well I wouldn't. I would actually be the same as Yaz. Like, I'd want all the goss. Yeah. All of the goss, if you know what I mean.
All of the juicy little details. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Taz just made some hand movements for anyone who can't see us if you're just listening to us. Okay. All right. Moving on to the next one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. What would you do if your friend steals your thesis and submits it before you as her original work? I have heard of like similar scenarios this. Not a whole thesis, but I have actually heard my supervisor, someone actually stole his grant proposal and submitted it as themselves. I didn't even put him as a co-author.
What?
Yeah. So this kind of stuff actually does happen. Okay. So yeah, you're writing up your thesis. And what would you do if someone in your lab just took your whole thesis and submits it?
My honest answer would probably, it's probably not appropriate for a podcast, but I'm just gonna put any disclaimer, like, I'm not actually saying I would do this, but like, maybe I would. Do you know what I mean? Like, let's just put some levels to it.
I'd swing
because what can your words do? And just be like, I'm so mad at you, why did you do this? Like, it's gotta get physical, but I don't condone physical violence at all. I would really not do that, because also I'm quite small and petite, like, how am I gonna swing? But
listen, us small girls, we can still swing. All right. I did karate when I was younger, and I was one belt for a black belt, and then I quit because
I would be so scared to be punched by you, honestly.
Yeah, because Liv's like kind of wham. My arms, I can't even do a push up. So really, the impact's not going to hurt, but you just need to know your place. How could you even think? Wait, but first of all, like, I know I think too deeply about these, what would you do if, but like, how are they getting my thesis? Is that a me problem because I haven't put two-factor authentication on, like...
I'm going to tell you how they're getting your thesis. So your supervisor is very scared that, because this happens, your supervisor is very scared that at some point you're going to lose your thesis during the writing process and you're going to have to start from scratch. So he makes it mandatory that everyone uploads their thesis to the shared lab OneDrive. Right. And he also thinks it's beneficial for other students to be able to see each other's thesis, so they can look at each other's thesis for like formatting advice and all of that. That's how they got it, the shared drive.
Okay. Is there like a university police system? that you can be like
university police, the thesis police.
Bring them and but surely you'd have evidence because their project, but they could run similar projects and like similar experiments. I actually don't know. Like, what could you do? I would just cry. I'd call you lot. I'd rant. I'd cry some more. And then what do you do? Like, Taz, what would you do? I think it's because I'm so emotional right now of like writing the thesis.
If I saw that, I would genuinely have a panic attack. I would cry, have another panic attack. And then once I was over like the stress and the anxiety and the upset, I would just get angry. Like,
so you're swinging, you're with me. We're swinging.
I've got a full lab book of all the stuff I did. Prove to me that you did this PhD, because all that work is mine, honey.
Oh my god, Taz is getting sassy.
Taz is sassy. She's pointing a finger. Like, boom, boom, boom. Damn. No, it's true. Your lab book is good evidence.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna fail their Viva surely, because they're not gonna be able to back up why.
Yeah,
they did
exactly.
Experiments.
I was just gonna say that. Yeah. You wouldn't pass a Viva because you wouldn't know what you've done, because you've not done it.
Exactly. And because even for me, I'm like, why did I do certain things? Now I'm looking back, I'm like, why did I do it this way?
Yeah, literally, I don't even know why I did what I did. Someone else ain't gonna know.
What would you do, Liv? Are you going all karate?
I mean, I could, couldn't I? But maybe. I mean, I was thinking the same thing as Taz, which is like, that's literally the point of lab books. But I might swing first and then, well, I guess like, yeah, GitHub is kind of our lab book.
Right, okay.
Because like, you document all the changes to your code. You document all of your code files.
Okay, yeah.
And like, all of your plots have like dates on them when they were generated. Like, almost if anything, we have probably a better lab book, because everything is like, we don't have to worry about writing things down in our lab book, dating things, like it's all just done for us because it's all digital.
Mm.
So yeah, I was thinking the same thing, like it's just, you don't even have to worry about it. But I'd probably cry, because I'm an angry crier. Like, I don't cry, but the only time I do cry is when I'm angry. So I would definitely,
and you like
cry.
Shake, you're just like crying and shaking and just like
yeah, I am a shaker as well, for sure. So, but then, yeah, afterwards, I mean, I feel like you wouldn't even have to do anything. Like, the uni would just figure it all out for you. So,
as long as you prove it, I think you'd be fine.
Keep your lab books up to date is the conclusion, in case someone in your lab steals your thesis.
I don't think they'd want to, because right now it's non-existent. But good luck to them.
Moving on to the next one. What would you do if your ex joined your lab group?
Oh. I actually don't know.
Mine would be so awkward, because I kind of low-key ghosted my ex.
Oh my god, it's that one!
It's that one. The one who made a TikTok account about me.
Oh my gosh, guys. Can we talk about it?
I just feel like this podcast is just like a collection of like horrible stories about my exes.
Oh my gosh. So Liv's ex made a TikTok and he posts about like the breakup, and he actually has a lot of followers. No, because would someone find him?
Yeah, no, because people literally,
he's gonna listen to this, he's low-key obsessed.
People literally message me his account, guys. Like, people who follow me message me his account and being like, is this your ex? Even though,
how
do
they know?
I think some people knew what he looked like, or I don't even, or they knew his name, I don't know, or maybe a combination of the both. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, I actually was pretty savage, but like, I kind of just knew it was gonna be a bit of a psycho situation, so I had to just cut it off real quick and like really cut it off. But then, yeah, he didn't take it very well, let's put it that way.
So if he joined your lab group now, like, do you need to get HR involved? Like, what was the
It's actually a possibility, because he was a software engineer. So like, there is a possibility that he could come into this field, you know?
Oh my gosh.
I don't know. It would be very awkward. I mean, I would try and be quite civil, because I think you'd have to be, wouldn't you? But I don't know, because I'd have to address the fact that I ghosted him. So I think I'd have to apologize for ghosting him.
At least you're self-aware.
Although, no, because like, I'm not really apologising, because I think I should have. Anyway, what would you guys do?
that's getting onto a whole like ex-boyfriend.
That's
trauma.
A whole thing. That's a whole thing.
What would I do? Cry. Call you lot. I think that's just like my go-to.
Who are we talking about? Are we talking about we can bleep out names. Yeah. He was pretty savage.
It would be like a competition. I would have to write like 20 papers. Do you know what I mean?
Oh my god,
like,
maybe that's the motivation like, you need to write your thesis is let's get in the lab.
Yeah, like let me actually say this because it is kind of weird. Like, don't want to talk badly about people because he might also have listened. Nah, I doubt it. But we went on a holiday together and holidays for me, it was like all inclusive. We went to Madeira. It was such a nice place. And I like to read my trashy novels where it's like rom-com or a really good thriller and read it in the week. It was all inclusive. So give me a cocktail at like midday, maybe even 11:30 because I'm on holiday, like whatever. Sit by the pool, enjoy. And his idea of a holiday was to write an essay. He wrote a 10,000 word essay while we were on holiday. So we would be around the pool and then I'd be like, oh, come, let's go out for the day. And he's like, you can go. And I'm like, bro, we came on this holiday together. And he's like, yeah, but this is my time, my downtime. This is the only time I've got to write this essay.
Was he just doing this in his spare time?
In his spare time on holiday. It wasn't even for an assignment. He wasn't even at uni. He was just working.
Just writing.
It was just an essay that he wanted to publish. And then he'd be like, why don't you just write these things? I'm like, I don't even enjoy writing. And then it made me feel guilty all the time because I hadn't written. So if we were in the same lab group, guys, it would be my motivation because he would make me feel like I've got 30 papers. Where are yours? Why don't you write in your spare time? Anyway, that's a whole thing. But maybe that's what I need. Maybe my ex should join my lab group and make me have a little...
Your exes are really a wide range of people. Let's put it that way.
My exes are very different. Yeah, let's say
different,
that.
Different, yeah.
Very different. I think I like the excitement of the differences that...
What excitement of writing essays on holidays? Okay, so you'd be in competition. I'd just feel extremely awkward. You'd be in competition. Yeah. So moving on to Taz, I guess.
I honestly think I would just go to HR and be like, look, we had a long relationship. I don't want to work with them. Can you put them in another department or like something? Because I'm
the power
already
to
working
do that.
There.
I think they would literally tell you to piss off.
Yeah. I don't like you like HR have like a duty of care. So if I'm like this person is going to bring trauma to my life if they are working with me or I would just quit. But yeah,
just quit.
Nah, I'm not letting my ex make like you quit or
you. So you're going to let the man give you trauma and lose your job.
No, yeah, my go-to would be go into HR. You need to get rid of these people. And then if that doesn't work.
But I guess they would though, job. Because like otherwise if anyone annoys me, I'd just be like, this person's giving me trauma. Like, I feel like there'd have to be some evidence to back it up.
Oh, I have evidence.
True.
Oh, okay.
Or I think, right, the biggest thing that we're missing is like, yeah, what would you do if they've joined your lab? But they're going to know who's in that lab group. Why are they joining the lab knowing you're there? That is some
well,
like...
I know school-ish. My ex is... That is would be why my ex is joining.
Well, you're telling me... If he actually joined, you wouldn't go to HR and be like, look at these TikToks that he made of me. This man cannot join this lab
Good
group
point.
Because he, no.
Wait, does he still make these TikToks? Does he still make them? Because...
Should I have a look? Although I'm blocked.
I can't remember what his name is. Nah! I've got him. He's got a story saying over it. When did he post that over it?
What? What now? Can I just tell? Let me just say for the listeners that we have been broken up for a long time and I have been with my now boyfriend for a year and a half. So.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I found it, guys. This video he posted, to be fair, it was in July 2023.
Oh my god, he's over it.
And he said, you know, it's been 8 months now. I'm over it. But he was on breakup TikTok posting every month, like every day or whatever for 8 months talking about his breakup. And now he's over it. Like that is good. So maybe he wouldn't
join the
lab.
Well done for getting over it.
Maybe not. Or maybe he's deep in his biology degree so that he can join the lab.
He's too busy to post.
Maybe.
Anyways, okay, that wraps up today's gossip section. Please do let us know what you think of this new little idea that we're trying out. Let us know if you like it. Let us know if you have any ideas for other things that you want us to try in the gossip section, or if you want us to just stick to the listener stories that you guys email in. And on that topic, if anyone has a story that they'd like us to read out and react to on one of our episodes, then you can email us at soculturedpodcast@gmail.com, or you can DM us on, well, actually head to our Instagram and click the link in our bio, because we have a little anonymous form there if you prefer to stay anonymous. Otherwise, thank you guys so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and we will see you guys next week. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the So Cultured podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Make sure you listen in next week for more science and tech updates and the hottest laboratory.
You can stay up to date with us in between episodes by following us on Instagram and X at So Cultured Podcast.
See you back here same time next week.